B'siyata d'shmai, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Hey. We're going to start 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, V'she'eino gavoya asara tvachim. This takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that one of the halachas of Sukkah is that if the airspace between the schach and the floor is not 10 tvachim high, the Sukkah is possible. Asks the Gemara, Minolon, what would be the source for such a halacha? Where do we know that a covering, a schach, which is not a covering over 10 tfachim, is not considered schach? Itmar, we learned, Rav, v'Rabbi Chanina, v'Rabbi Yechanon, v'Rav Chaviva, a group of 4 chachomim, masnu, they learned as follows, they taught as follows. And by the way, the Gemara mentions that b'kula seyda moyed, in the whole of seyda moyed, kol ki hai zuga, whenever you have this group of 4 chachomim, chilufei Rabbi Yechanon, umayil Rabbi Yonason. Then there are those who remove, they say that it's not Rabbi Yechanon in the group, it's Rabbi Yonason. But what do these 4 chachomim say? Where do they learn that the concept of schach only applies when it's hovering over an airspace of 10 tfachim? They learn it out from the Shechinah. We know that the Shechinah used to come down on top of the Orin and speak to Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael from on top of the Kapoires, on top of the covering, on top of the Orin. We know that there was the Orin, which was 1.5 amas high. On top of that, there was a covering, which is the Kapoires. And from on top of that, the Shechinah would speak. Orin Tisha, we know that the Orin was 9 tfachim high. It was 1.5 amas high. Every amo is 6 tfachim, 9 tfachim high. The Kapoires, the covering itself. Tefach was a tefach. Harika and Hasara. So we know that the Orin with the covering was 10 tfachim. Uchsiv. And it says in another pasuk, V'noyadati licha sham v'dibarati itcha me'al ha-kapoires, mi'bein shnei akruvim ha-shal arin o'idos, eis kol ha-sha'atzaveko, atzave o'ischa el b'nei Yisrael. The Shechinah says, I will come down until the top of the cover of the arin, from there I will speak to you. V'tanya we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, me'oilom lo yordo Shechinah lemato. The Shechinah insisted on not coming down. Any area that's considered mato, low, down, the Shechinah wouldn't go there. And similarly, even though Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Hanavi did go up towards the heavens, they didn't go lamorim to the heavens, they didn't reach the heavens. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, the heavens are exclusively for Hashem, so to speak. V'ha'oretz and land, nothan livne odom, is so to speak exclusively for man. Which means that the heavens, and we're soon going to learn, the 10 tfachim, just below the heavens, those are exclusively for the Shechinah. The earth and 10 tfachim above the earth are exclusively for man. The area in between is shared by both. So what do we see from here? We see that the Shechinah would come down until on top of the Kapoires, and it would not come down below that. And we learnt that the Pasuk says, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem V'oretz Nosan Livne Odom, but we don't know how far, what's called Oretz, how much of the land is an area given to man, not, and the Shechinah does not go there. So from the very fact that the Shechinah came down and the Shechinah told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going until the top of the Kapoires and not lower. So we obviously see from there that from the top of the Kapoires and lower is an entity of its own, a Roshus on its own, which the Shechinah will not enter. So you see that 10 tfachim is considered an entity. Since it's considered an entity, you have, when you have schach covering over that area, it's considered a schach, which is covering a whole entity, a whole rishus, and that's the source that schach has to cover an airspace of 10 tfachim. Asks the Gemara, v'lo yordo shechino lemata, and the Shechinah never came in the 10 tfachim down adjacent to the land, to the earth. V'oksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, V'yered Hashem al har Sinai, al roi shahor, V'yikra Hashem l'moyshe, al roi shahor v'yal Moshe? Does it not say that Hashem came down onto Mount Sinai, which was the 10 tfachim close to the ground? Answers the Gemara, L'maylo me'asara tfachim. that the Shekhinah came down on top of the mountain, but it didn't reach the mountain, it stayed 10 tefachim above the mountain. Asks the Gemara, V'oksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, V'omdu raglov b'yoymahu al harazesim ashal pnei Yerushalayim mikedem, etc., that the Shekhinah is going to come and, so to speak, rest its legs on harazesim. So you see, the Shekhinah does come down. Answers the Gemara, L'mayla me'asara tefachim, again, the Shekhinah will stay above 10 tefachim. V'le'olu Moshe v'le'olu la'morim, and you mentioned before that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu Hanavi, even though they went up, they ascended to the heights of the heavens, they didn't go to the heavens. V'oksiv, does it not say in the Pasuk, Moshe olo elo elukim, v'yikra elo v'ashem enahor lemer, koysim alo v'isyaki v'vesagid levnei Yisrael? Does it not say that Moshe went up to the Shekhinah? So you see that he went up to the Shemaim. Answers the Gemara, Lemato me'asara, there were 10 tefachim beyond the Shemaim, and Moshe did not enter that space. Asks the Gemara, V'oksiv, regarding Eliyahu Hanavi, does it not say, V'yihi heimo hilchim holich v'daber, v'hinei rechev eish v'susei eish, v'yafridu bein shneim, v'ya'al Eliyahu basa'oro ha-shamayim, that Eliyahu Hanavi went up in a whirlwind up to the heavens? So you see that Eliyahu Hanavi did go up. Again, the Gemara answers, Lemata me'asara, he went up, but he did not enter the 10 tefachim closest to the Shemaim. Asks the Gemara, V'oksiv, does it not say in another pasuk, Ma'achiz pnei kisei, that Hashem allowed Moshe to grasp the face of the throne, Parshez olav anonoi, and Hashem spread over Moshe Rabbeinu his cloud. So if the cloud of Hashem, the Shekhinah, will spread over Moshe Rabbeinu, it would seem that Moshe Rabbeinu did go up to the heavens. Va'omer of Tanchoi Melamed, we see from there that from the word Parashes actually spells out the words Shapires Shakai Miziv Shchinosoi, that Hashem spread from his radiance onto Va'anonoi and his cloud all of onto Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Shemaim, and the Mefarshim discuss why we need Rav Tanchim over here. It seems to be that that's what the Pasuk itself is saying. But the Gemara answers, Lemato me'asara, that the Shekhinah came down and covered Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not enter those 10 tefachim which were Shemaim. Asks the Gemara, Mikol Mokim, does it not say, at the end of the day, if you look in the Pasuk, it says, Ma'achiz pnei kiseksiv. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu could hold the throne, and the throne would seem to be a concept which is in Shemaim. Answers the Gemara, Ishtarvu ve'ishtarvu v'lei kisei. The throne actually came down towards Moshe Rabbeinu, ad asara, to the area of 10 tefachim below the Shemaim, v'nokat be, and then Moshe Rabbeinu could hold it from there. Says the Gemara, Bishleima Orin Tisha. So we've learned from all this that the Orin was 9, the cover was 1, the Shekhinah came down till the top of the cover of the Orin, it's 10 tefachim, and the Shekhinah refused to come down below that. It must be the area below that is the definition of an entity of its own. That's why it's called a Schach. The Gemara is now saying, I understand that you know that the Orin itself is 9 tefachim. Orin Tisha, Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'osu aroin atzei shitim, the Orin was made of cedar wood, amosayim v'chetzi orkoi, v'ama v'chetzi rochboi, v'ama v'chetzi koimosoi. These are dimensions of the Orin. They were 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos by 1.5 amos high. 1.5 amos high is 1.5 times 6 tefachim is 9 tefachim. Elo kapoires tefach minolon. How do you know that the covering on top of the Orin was a tefach high? Was a tefach thick? The Tanya Reb Chanina, kol akelim she'osa Moshe, nitno bem Torah midas orkon, umidas rochbon, umidas kimoson. All the utensils that Moshe was told to make, or was instructed to make sure that they got made, the measure, the height, the width, and the length of it was given, was told what exactly what they should be. Kapires, however, this cover on top of the Orin, midas orko, midas rochbo nitno. The length and the width, it was given, it was covering the Orin, it was 2.5 by 1.5. But midas kimoso, but the height of it, the thickness of it, lo nitno, was not given. So how do you know that the kapires was a tefach? That's the question of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Let's assume it was the same thickness as the smallest of any of the utensils in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, you should make for it mizgeres. They're talking about the table, the Shulchan. It had a border going round it, toifach soviv. It was going round, it was one tefach high, this border going around the table. And there would be a little crown on top of the Shulchan as well. But what do we see from here? That this border was a tefach. And that's the smallest measure mentioned in the Chumash regarding the utensils of the Mishkan. So let's assume, ma lehalon tefach, in the same way as this misgeres, this border going between the feet or around the table, is a tefach, so to the kapeires, the covering of the Orin, will be afkan tefach. Ask the Gemara, if you don't know where to learn it from, why would you learn it from the border going around the Shulchan? Learn it out from the actual dimensions of the entire kelim, which was much more than a tefach. Answers the Gemara, tofasta maruba loy tofasta. Tofasta muad, tofasta, and Rashi says this is a moshel, that if somebody is told to grab, to seize something, then if he seizes the smallest measure, that will definitely stay in his hands. If he was supposed to seize more, he'll be given more. But if he was supposed to seize a little bit, and he takes a lot, then it will be taken away from him. Who told you to take so much? Maybe you were only supposed to take less. And what he's holding, he's going to lose. Or part of it he will lose. And that's a moshul to hear, which we say that if you can choose from either a very large or a larger measure and a smaller measure, assume that it's the smaller measure is the safest one to rely on. Asks the Gemara, okay, so you're going for the smallest measure of the kelim, v'nelef mitzitz. We know there was the golden plate on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol called the tzitz. The Tanya we learnt in the Braitza, tzitz, this tzitz was doime kamin tas shel zov. It was made with a thin plate of gold, v'rochav beis etzbois. It was only 2 fingers breadth wide. U'mukuf me'oizen le'oizen, it would surround him from one ear to the next. V'kosuv olov, and on it was written beis shit in 2 lines, yud kei, Hashem's name, milamayla on the top line, v'kodesh lamed, milamato, that it should be kodesh, sanctified, holy, to Hashem. So Hashem's name is on the first line, and the kodesh la in the second line. V'omer Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Yosi says, anira isiv b'roimi, when I went into the Vatican and I saw in Rome this tzitz, v'kosuv olov kodesh lashem b'shito achas, Kodesh Lashem was written on one line, and not like we saw in the Braisa, written on those 2 lines. But either way, the height of the tzitz was only 2 fingers breadth. So why do you say that the kapeiros, the cover of the Orin, was a whole tefach? Because you learn out from the mizgeres, the border around the Shulchan. Why don't you say it was only 2 fingers width, and you learn it from the tzitz? Answers the Gemara, donin kli mikli, we learn out a halacha of a vessel, the kapeiros, the cover of the Orin, mikli, from a vessel, from a part of the Shulchan, which was a vessel, and we're talking about the tefach going around it. Ve'en donin kli mitachshit, but we wouldn't learn the halacha, the height of the cover of the Orin, from the tzitz, where the tzitz itself is just an ornament, something which is worn, it's not a utensil. Asks the Gemara, okay, but there's something within the utensils that's even less than a tefach. V'nelef mizeir. The zeir, the crown that was surrounding 3 of the kelim, that was on the Orin, on the Mizbeach, and on the Shulchan, there was a little crown. D'omar mar, zeir mashuhu. The height of that crown was just a mashu, just a little bit, the smallest amount. There wasn't even a minimum measure. So maybe we should learn from the zeir that the thickness of the Orin, the cover of the Orin, was also just the tiniest amount. Answers the Gemara, donin kli mikli, ve'ein donin kli mehechshor kli. We'd rather learn the dimensions, the height of the cover of the Orin, from the mizgeret, the border around the table, which is a vessel, from a vessel, rather than learning out the vessel, which is the cover of the Orin, from a hechsher kli, from something which is not more than a decoration, an ornament. The zeir is just an ornament. If so, asks the Gemara, Yahachi, Mizgeres Nami, this border around the Shulchan, Nami, Hechsher Klihu. It was also just a decoration. It was on top of the, it was a decorative border around the table. So why is that better than the Zeir? And if you learn out from a decoration, learn it from a Zeir, not from this Mizgeres, and then the cover of the Aron would only have been a Mashu. Answers the Gemara, Mizgarotei Lemato Hisa. Because there's a machlokes, we'll soon see where this border was. Was it on top of the tabletop, in which case indeed it was an ornament, it was just a decoration, or was it under the tabletop, in which case it was not a decoration, it was actually there to hold the feet together, to support the tabletop. It was not considered a hechsher, and is not considered just a mere ornament and decoration. Says the Gemara, according to the opinion that indeed this border was under the tabletop, then I can understand that it's not called a kishut, it's not called an ornament, and therefore you would learn from the mizgeres to the cover of the orin. According to the opinion who says that this border was on top of the tabletop, and it was just a decorative type of ornament, if so, if you're already learning from a kishut, from an ornament, learn it from a zeir. Ma'ikalamema, what are you going to say? Hai hechsher kli. This is also just a hechsher kli. It's just an ornament, a decoration. Elo says the Gemara, Donin dovo shenitno boi toira mido, midovo shenitno boi toira mido. This mizgeres, the Torah itself gave it a measure, a tefach. It's a minimum measure which the Torah gave. Osisale mizgeres, toifach, soviv. However, v'al yechichu tzitz v'zeir, however the tzitz, you're right, it was 2 fingers breadth, but that's not something explicit in the Chumash. The zeir was a mashahu, that's not explicit in the Chumash. V'al yechichu tzitz v'zeir, shelo nitno b'em teira midaklal, the Torah did not write the measure. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna omar mehocha. Rav Huna says no. Rav Huna says, I'll tell you where we learn from that the cover of the Oroin is a tefach. He says mehocha, Al pnei hakapoires kedmo. When it's talking about this kapoires, this cover, when it talks about the ponim, which is the face of this cover, kedmo is the east. That's to do with what the pasuk is talking about there in the parasha of the Kippur Avoda. We don't need to go into that now. But this kapoires has a ponim, has a face. Ve'ein ponim pochis mitefach. A face, it's true that it's the face of the cover is just the outer edge, one of the edges of this kapoires, but it's the term used is a face, and a human face, the minimum size of a human face is a tefach. And since the kapoires had a face, so to speak, had a pnei kapoires, we know it was a tefach. Asks the Gemara, well, all you know from the pasuk is that pnei kapoires, that the kapoires had a face. Who told you that the kapoires was the face, the minimum size of a human face? Maybe it's ka'ape, like the face of a debar yuchni, which was a very big bird. And in the Gemara Bechira says it was such a big bird that one of its eggs once cracked and the liquids from the egg managed to drown 60 cities, etc. So if he's talking about a face, maybe the face of the kapoires, the width of the kapoires, was that like the face of this big bird, this bar yuchni. Answers the Gemara like we saw before, tofasta maruba loy tofasta, tofasta mu'at tofasta. If you've got 2 faces to choose from, a very big one and a smaller one, you're safer choosing the smaller one. It's more probable that it's the smaller one. Asks the Gemara, maybe it's the face of a very small bird, which is much smaller than a tefach. Answers the Gemara, Omer Vacha Bayakiv, Rav Huna, that this Rav Huna that says that you learn from Pnei Kapoires that Ein Ponim Pochis Mitefach, he's learning it from Gzeira Shova, that it says over there Pnei Kapoires, Uchsiv Hosom, and elsewhere it says in the Pasuk, Me'es Pnei Yitzchok Oviv, it refers to Yitzchok as having a face. So you see that we're talking about a human face, and the smaller size of a human face is a tefach. And regarding that small bird, it doesn't say in that context, in the posuk, the word pnei, face, so therefore we don't learn from there. Asks the Gemara, Venelov, why don't you learn Gzeira Shava from a different place in the Torah where it speaks about ponim? It's the ponim shel Maila. It's the face, so to speak, of malochim, of some esoteric beings. Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayoyim Yaakov, Alno, imno motzosi chen beinecho, velokachto minchosi miyodi, ki alkein ro'isi ponecho, ki ro'is pnei elikim, vatir tzeini. That it's talking there about that Yaakov Avinu saw the face of some angels, vatir tzeini, and you were appeased by me. So you see there that pnei, the word face, could be a very big face, the face of an angel. Says the Gemara again, tofasto merubo loy tofasto, tofasto muat tofasto. Asks the Gemara, v'neilev mikruv. Why don't you learn it out from one of the kruvim? We know that on top of the orin, there were two kruvim that were made of gold, which were two forms. They had wings, their faces were, we'll soon see what the faces were made like, but they were called kruvim, and these kruvim had a face. So why don't you learn from the kruv d'chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, v'hoyu akruvim, poirsei k'nofayim, these kruvim, their wings were spread out, l'maylo, above, soichachin b'kanfim, it was actually above their heads, we're going to see that soon, and it was covering over with their wings, ala kapoires, over this kapoires, upneim ish elochiv, the face of the two kruvim were facing each other, ala kapoires yu, pnei akruvim. So you see there, there's a concept called pnei hakruvim. And the pnei hakruvim, at this point we assume, is even less than a tefach. So why are you saying pnei, the smaller size of a human face, was a tefach? Maybe it was even less. Learn pnei from the pnei hakruvim. Answers the Gemara, Omer vacha bayakiv, Gemiri, we have a tradition, ein pnei kruvim poch prusin mitefach. That those faces of the kruvim that were on top of the orin, they were also no less than a tefach. Rav Huna nami mehocha gomir. Rav Huna himself, who learns pnei, doesn't learn it from pnei Yitzchok. He learns it from the ponim of the kruvim. And indeed, we have a tradition, the ponim of the kruvim were no less than a tefach. Says the Gemara, and this seems to be just not to do with the sugya we just learned directly. It seems to be something else. Now that we've mentioned the kruvim, asks the Gemara, Umay kruv, what was the shape of this kruv? So Omer Bavo, kravya. It was like the form of a little child. Shekein bebovil, koirin liyanuka, ravya. A little child, a yanuka, is called ravya. And that's what kruvim. Kruvim is similar to the words ravya. And ravya is a child. Omele Abaya says, if so, I've got a question. Elo me'ato d'chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, in Yecheskel, it says that v'arbo ponim le'echod, pnei ho'echod pnei akruv, u'pnei ha'sheini pnei odom, etc. So you see there's a concept called pnei ha'kruv, and there's a concept called pnei ha'odom. And now you're telling me that the form of the kruvim were the form of a child, of a person, so pnei odom and pnei kruv is the same. Hainu kruv, hainu odom, because you just said now that a kruv is the shape of a child. Answers the Gemara, exactly. The difference is that odom, aparavrava, and the pnei odom is a large face, and the kruvim is apazutra, which is the form of a child, that very small shiur, the smallest face, the face of a child, was no less than a tefach. So we learn from the kruvim that the ponim was a tefach, so too the pnei kapires was a tefach. Continues the Gemara. Umimai dechalolo asoro bar mischocha, eima behadischocha. We are taking it for granted that the minimum size sukkah is referring to the airspace. The airspace underneath the schach has to be 10 tefachim. Where do we learn 10 tefachim from? We just said we learn it from the orin v'kapires. The Orin v'Kapires was 10 tfachim. But the Orin v'Kapires, the cover of the Orin, was included in the 10 tfachim. So maybe by Sukkah, the Schach is included in the 10 tfachim. And as long as you have 10 tfachim from the top of the Schach till the floor, it's kosher, even if you don't have airspace of 10 tfachim. Says the Gemara, Elo mi beis oilomim gomar. And this is a whole new part of the sugya. The very first question we asked, that v'she'ena gveya sara tvachim minolon, at the bottom of Daftala Domad base, the Gemara answered, in the name of Fuch Achomim, we learn it from Orin Tisho v'kapires tefach. And then we had a whole Gemara. Now the Gemara says, no. How do you know that schach, the minimum schach has to be, that means the minimum sukkah has to be an airspace of 10 tefachim, is not necessarily learnt out from the height of the orin, rather it's learnt out from the area, the airspace underneath the wings of the kruvim, between the wings of the kruvim, between the lowest part of the wings of the kruvim, between the underneath of the wings of the kruvim and the top of the cover of the orin, which is on which the kruvim were standing, then that is the distance. That means the wings are considered as schach. They are soichach, they are covering over the area underneath it. And we'll soon see the area underneath the kruvim were exactly 10 tefachim. So you see that schach means covering an airspace of 10 tefachim. Where would we know that from? Mibeis ha'ilomim gomar. And it's very interesting. In the Mishkan, the Orin and the Kruvim were made by Moshe Rabbeinu. And those Kruvim were actually standing on top of the Kapeires, on top of the cover of the Orin. However, the Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made, they were actually standing on the ground on their feet next to the Orin. So let's see. Mibeis ha'ilomim gomar, we're going to learn it from the Beis HaMikdosh. It says by the Beis HaMikdash, Apostle in Melachim, V'habayis asher bono HaMelech Shlomo L'Hashem, this home, the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built for Hashem, Shishim Amo Orkoi, 60 Amos long, V'esrim Rochbo, and 20 wide, U'shloishim Amo Koimosoi. It was 30 Amos high. Uchsiv. So we know that the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kodoshim, for all intents and purposes, what we're speaking about now is 30 amas high. What else does it say in Melachim? Uchsiv, Koimas ha-kruv ho-echod. This is Shlomo HaMelech's kruvim. They were standing on the ground. How high was the kruv? Eser ba'amo. 10 amas. V'chein ha-kruv ha-sheini. So you see that each kruv was 10 amas high. How high was the whole Kodesh Kodoshim? It was 30. So you see, V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Memotzinu. In the same way as by the Beis HaMikdash, where it's explicit, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 30 Amos high, the Kruvim were 10 Amos high, which means that the Kruvim themselves, not their wings were even higher, but the heads, the top of the heads of the Kruvim was a third of the height of the Bayis. Mishkan Nami, so also by the Mishkan, where the Kruvim were standing on top of the Orin, nonetheless, the top of the heads of the Kruvim were a third of the height of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. B'shlish HaBayis HaMimdim, they were standing a third height of the Bayis. Mishkan Kamehava, how tall was the Mishkan? Eser Amos, it was 10 Amos, Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Eser Amos, Oyrecha Keresh, the planks of wood that was made up the Mishkan were 10 Amos long. That was the height. Kamehavalu, 10 amas is how many tefachim? Shittin pushchi is 60 tefachim. Telose kamahava, how much is a third of the height? Esrim pushchi, 20 tefachim. Now we know, how tall is the orin and the kapayres? 10 tefachim. Dal asoro, the orin v'kapayres, poshuluhu, what's left? Asoro. So you know that between the top of the kapayres and the top of the heads of the kruvim was 10 tefachim, because that way we know it was a third of the height of the bayis. Uchsiv, and it says, V'hoyu akruvim poirsei knofayim, these kruvim, they had wings spread out, lemailo, on top of the heads of the kruvim, soichachin bekanfeim, you hear the word schach, it was covering over, with their wings, ala kapayres, over the kapayres. So kari rachmon eschacha, these wings are considered a schach, the Torah calls them a schach, in the Pasuk here, and it's lemailo me'asara, and it was above a 10 tefachim airspace. So you see that schach is considered an area which is covering an airspace of 10 tefachim. Asks the Gemara, mimai de gotfinu ilavei reishehu kaimi? All this is good if you assume that the wings are just above the heads of the kruvim. The heads of the kruvim were up to 10 tefachim off the orin. Total 20 tefachim off the ground, a third of the height of the bayis. And immediately above that was the wings, so you see that schach is covering an airspace of 10 tefachim. Dilma lehadi reishayhu kaima. Maybe the wings were not above the heads. Maybe the wings were flush with the heads. And therefore the airspace, or more accurately, the wings were included in the 10 tefachim. And again, you don't have proof that you need an airspace of 10 tefachim. Omer v'achabei Yaakov, no, that can't be. L'maylok siv, it says explicitly, the wings were on top. They were covering above the heads of the kruvim. Says the Gemara v'eimer demidli tuva, who says that it was just above the heads? Maybe it was much higher above the heads, in which case schach might need much more than 10 tefachim. All you know is that the top of the heads of the kruvim was 10 tefachim above the cover of the orin. So if the wings were just there, you have an airspace of 10 tefachim, but maybe the wings were much higher. Says the Gemara, miksiv lemailo lemailo. Does the Pasuk say that the wings were lemailo lemailo, high above? No, it says lemailo, just above the heads. So this is the source that the schach has to cover 10 tefachim of airspace. Says the Gemara, honich, all this is good, l'Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, and in both explanations, that were both based on the fact that the Orin was 9 tefachim high. According to Reb Meir, the Omar kolo amois hoyu beinoin yois, all the amois regarding these kelim were average amois. They were not the small amois of 5 tefachim each, and not the big ones that were 6 tefachim plus. Rather, they were the average ones which were 6 tefachim, and 6 tefachim per amma, 1.5 ammas is 9 tefachim. That's fine. Elo le Reb Yehuda da Omar amo bas shel binyan, shisha tefachim v'amo v'shel kelim. Chamisha, according to Reb Yehuda, who says that the amma in context of the kelim, the utensils, it was just 5 tefachim, so an amma and a half is only 7.5 tefachim. Plus the cover, another tefach, 8.5 tefachim. Michael and Mema, what are you going to say? Orin v'kapeires kama havaluhu. How high was the orin in the kapeires? Tamanyo palga, only 8.5 tefachim. And we said that the top of the heads of the kruvim must be 20 tefachim, which is a third of the bias. So how much airspace have you got from the top of the cover until the wings? Pashtuluhu, chatzri opalga. So you have 11.5 tefachim of airspace. Eimusukka ad dahavya chatzri opalga. So maybe according to Reb Yehuda, the minimum airspace in a sukkah has to be 11.5 tefachim. Elo says the Gemara of Reb Yehuda, according to Reb Yehuda, who cannot learn 10 tefachim from the way we've learned it till now, he must learn, where do we know 10 tefachim from? Hilchas Gemirila. He learns the Alocha L'Moshe Mesinai, the Omer Abchia Bar Ashi, Omer Rav, Shiurin, measurements, Chatzitzin, the concept of Chatzitza, when there's a separation between the water and something that needs to be toveled in the water, and Mechitzin, and walls, separations, Mechitzois, Alocha L'Moshe Mesinai. And Alocha L'Moshe Mesinai, we learn that the minimum size of a mechitza is 10 tefachim. So a sukkah needs a mechitza, it needs walls. The minimum size of walls that are considered walls is 10 tefachim. So it must be that the schach is on top of that, is covering an area that's walled in. 10 tefachim of airspace is walled in. On top of that, you've got the schach. That's the minimum size sukkah. And in the next Shirim Yitzhashem, we're going to go into details more about the Shiurin, Chatzitzin, and Mechitzin.